Hi, everybody. Brandy here with part 3 of 5 of our exclusive series, The Power Behind the Words Committed to Cause. Those are 3 strange words, aren't they? And yet they've made such a powerful impact on my life and a powerful impact on the lives of those that we work with that I wanted to share it as part of our Powerhouse Learning piece here. I hear so many people talk about wanting to make a difference. It seems like it's the latest buzz phrase. The reality is, you make a difference every day. The question is, what kind of a difference do you make? And are you living in a way, or speaking in a way, or developing relationships in such a way that you can be in a position to make a difference, that you will be heard that way? Now, we've talked about a couple of things so far. We've talked about Conversations for Action, C4A, the power of promise and commitment, agreement and request to bring clarity and specificity into your relationships. Then we talked a little bit about behavior styles, that there are 4 different general personality styles in the world today, and that it's incumbent upon you, if you're going to build better relationships, to become more flexible, to move towards the center more, to get to know others. Here, in the piece on Committed to Cause, I'm going to talk about the power of mental rehearsal. Let me give you an example. Every time I walk into a meeting, whether as a speaker or a participant, or speak with someone on the phone, my thought in advance is, I am committed to cause certain things. Usually, it's openness, honesty, authenticity, and working on the core issues in order to make progress, not just for me, but also for the other party, to help them achieve what they say they want. Now, yours may be different, and I'm going to ask you to try these kind of things as we go along. It'll be in your exercise at the end. Let me give you some history on how I learned these words and what happened for me personally. Over 17 years ago, I attended a 4-day experiential training workshop that greatly impacted my life. Not just during those 4 days, but really for the rest of my life, including today, including the reason why I'm doing this Powerhouse Learning series for all of you. While I was engaged in that workshop, I had the chance to divulge or declare the kind of person that I say I am, the kind of person I wanted to be, and to face my fears, my trepidations, and the realities of what was keeping me from authentic relationships in my life. And it was a tough workshop. I'm going to tell you guys that. If you want to type to me on the blog and ask me some questions about it, I would be happy to share more information with you. What I will say is it was one of the most amazing experiences to be involved in a community, if you will, with about 25 or 30 other people, and really have a chance to demonstrate through language and action, and to be willing to face the truth about myself, and to have a chance to engage in relationship with people on a whole nother level. Committed to cause are some of the words that I learned during that experience. And so I'm here to talk to you a little bit about why those 3 words are so powerful. I say, what is the experience or emotion you want to evoke in the other party? That's my easy definition for committed to cause. Truth is, you cause an experience or emotion every time you're involved with another human being. Mental rehearsal is one of the top traits of peak performers and avid learners. Those kind of people come to the field ready to play because they played the game in their mind many times before they act. Playing out scenarios and making decisions beforehand in your mind will help you be better prepared when the time comes to move. There's a hyperlink here on this slide for those of you that have access to it that I'd like you to click on, and I'd like you to read this article. It's on cognitive dissonance, and although it's not the original study of where mental rehearsal came from or some of the studies originally that were done, it's a compilation of many, many things that will help bring a lot of depth and insight to the psychology behind this and why it can be so powerful. Seems like something so simple that can make such an amazing impact in your life that I couldn't help but bring it up today and a part of this 5-part series. Let me give you some examples of committed to cause, okay? Let's say you're a sales representative for your particular industry, or you're a marketing representative, doesn't really matter. You're somebody who has consistent customer contact on a daily basis, both in person and over the phone. So you could be involved in a call center or customer service or anything else. You're doing well, but not exceptionally well. And you can't figure it out. So think about the thoughts and emotions you have before you enter interaction with another human being. And if your interactions with other human beings are part of your job for you to be compensated, then it could bring a lot of extra pressure, right? So are you ready to engage the buyer or this other person in a series of questions and dialogue in order to find out what is really important to them? Or are you too worried about not making the sale, not being good enough, whether this person will or will not help you make your rent this month? Or if the manager is going to be hounding you about the results of the meeting. You see, whether you realize it or not, it's irrelevant. Your mind is focused on you instead of the other. In this case, I would say that you are committed to cause a sense in the other person that you're distracted, that your questions mainly lead them to the decision that you're all about yourself, more self-focused than being a good listener and a problem solver. And who wants to work with someone like that? Not me. Let's just say that you've asked me to come in and give a presentation for your group. And I'm committed to cause a sense in all of you, an emotion or an experience, that I'm a liar, that I'm dishonest, that frankly I've graced you with my presence today, that I'm better than you are, that I have all this knowledge and all of you are just little people and I'm just here to make a buck. Think about that for a second. Now, many of you have probably had that experience if you've had people come into your environment, I'm sure. But let's just say that was what I was committed to cause, whether I was aware of it or not. What would my body language look like? Right? How would I be standing? How would I be maneuvering? Would I have my back to you? Would I not make great eye contact consistently when I was speaking with you? Would I use words and tone of voice that sounded condescending or shady in some form? Absolutely. So let's think of the opposite. What if I'm committed to cause openness, honesty, authenticity, bringing people closer together instead of separating them? What would I have to be willing to do or say in order to accomplish that? These are powerful words, guys, and I want to caution you that you need to practice them where you have an opportunity to share with friends or family. Hey, listen, I'm working on some new language or some new techniques, and so I may fumble through it a little bit. Or go into a situation where maybe if you are in that call center or in a sales situation, go into your next conversation with a client that you know and trust and try it. Or go into a brand new cold situation and try it and see what happens. I know that even having you think about that could bring on some stress. And that brings me to my next point. Stress, in my opinion, has a lot to do with the way we choose to handle life's challenges. If you were to see circumstances and things that happen as neutral, like there's really no emotion, and then look honestly at the emotion you label them with, it's going to help you feel like you have more control over the way you handle the things in life that happen to you. In fact, Paul Stoltz wrote a book many years ago. He's written at least three that I know of. Many years ago, his original work was called The Adversity Quotient. Dr. Paul Stoltz, S-T-O-L-T-Z. And it's in my top five because he talks about the ability that we have to withstand and overcome adversity. In fact, he says it is the number one factor for success. Not your IQ and not necessarily your emotional intelligence. It's your ability to withstand and overcome the tough things, the tough challenges that happen in life. And he says that we all face at least 22 adversities a day. And some of you say, geez, Brandy, you know, it feels like I have that happen before lunch most of the time. And you know what? That may be the case. I want you to remember that people outside of you make choices and have their own journey to walk in life. I had a big breakthrough in my life emotionally about 7 years ago around this. I'm one of the kind of people that when things go on in relationship, I just want to blame myself or at that time I was, and what did I do wrong, and what could I have done different, and although some of those things are really healthy, I wasn't always looking at the reality that sometimes people make their own choices. They have their own issues going on in life that have nothing to do with me. In fact, on many occasions in the situation I was in at that time, I realized that I wasn't that important to that person, really. They operated that way with everyone and everything in their life. I just happened to be the next person coming along. Sometimes this helps me from taking on things that are not mine to be responsible for. But on the other hand, if you have a part in things, own up. I say sometimes in relationship when we're having a conflict that it's contributory, not necessarily proportionate. In other words, when you're in relationship with another human being, you're connected to them in one way or another, obviously. When there's a conflict, it can't just be all about that other person. Now, I may have been causing something that I wasn't aware of. And there's a lot of wisdom to be gained in being able to objectively pick apart these kind of situations, own what's yours, and leave the rest. If you happen to be looking at the screen, I have a piece here called Scripting It Out. Here's my little step-by-step guide, and I'm going to use all kinds of questions in succession to give you an example of what this can sound like. First, what are you committed to cause? What's the experience or emotion you want to evoke in another party? Let's just say your answer is overcome a conflict, deal with a difficult person. In fact, part four, the next part in this series, is going to be on difficult conversations. So let me use that one. Let's just say I have a conflict with another person and I'm looking to break through that conflict and find reconciliation in the relationship. I would begin by asking questions like this. I'm wondering. I've been thinking about. I've noticed that. What happened? What would you like to have happen? What would it take for you to... Are you willing? Are you open? In fact, those two questions, are you willing, are you open, are some of the things that we use when we interact in organizations with individuals through mediation work that we do. We've been able to resolve difficult conflict in the workplace in two meetings where they have had other individuals come in, they've had executive level come in, they've had all kinds of other professionals come in and not being able to make any headway. People wonder if we've got the skeleton key to opening up these relationships. It's been really, really fun to help make a difference in that way through some of the people that we've worked with. Let me go through some of these and give you some scripts so you understand the context of what I'm referring to. I'm wondering if we could talk about something that's been bothering me lately. I've been thinking about the conversation we had the other day, and I've noticed that you and I maybe aren't connecting well on this project. What happened? Are you okay? Are you having a tough time? Is there anything that I can do to help you? What would you like to accomplish on the project? What would you like to have happen? And I'd like to find out if I can help you get there. What would it take in order for you to achieve what you said you wanted? Are you willing to work on it together? Are you open to you and I finding a way to fix it? I'd like to give you a warning about all of this. The information, the principles, and the knowledge that I'm sharing with you in this five-part series are very, very powerful things. And you can use them for good, or you can use them to further an intent to manipulate for your own self-interest. I want you to be wise. Please be careful how you use the information I bring you today. What I would like for you to do is take serious inventory about what's working in your life and what is not working in your life. Think about the relationships that you're engaged in now, whether it's at home or at work, church or your synagogue. It doesn't matter. We're all connected to human beings in one way or another. If you're getting the kind of love and closeness, intimacy, and joy in your relationships, that's fantastic. This can actually help further that cause, further your commitment to loving and caring about people. But these techniques can also be used to coerce and manipulate. Here's the problem with it. People will feel something isn't right. There will be an experience or an emotion that you will cause, including maybe one of confusion. And a confused mind often says no, right? So I want to warn you to take a look in the mirror first. Think about what isn't working in your life and what you may have brought to the relationships in your life to evoke the result that you have. Take a look at that first. And then be clear. What am I committed to cause? Am I committed to cause more joy, intimacy, closeness, vulnerability, authenticity in my life? Great. That's fantastic. Then use these things that I'm bringing you today. But if what you want to cause is to get something from someone, you may well indeed reach those kind of things. These are very, very powerful methods, but it's not going to work for you in the long haul, okay? It's not going to work for you in the long haul in your life. What I'm trying to say is if you have had a pattern throughout the past several years or past several months, let's just say you're in a job you're really unhappy in, or you're in a relationship that isn't working out for you, you have contributed to that situation in one way or another. And what I'm going to ask you to do is get clear on how you've contributed that it's not working out the way you'd like to see it work out. It could be through your choices. I would say it's definitely through your choices. It could be through your language. It could be through your lack of willingness to keep the promises you make. There could be all kinds of things. So when you use the power of committed to cause, and this is powerful stuff, tap in, make sure that your desire is not just solely for yourself and your own self-interest and your self-indulgence, but also for the other. And what is the result you're getting from the relationship? Is that relationship one of reciprocity? If it's not, there's something missing you have to tap into. Okay, let's move on. Terry Bradshaw, most of you know who he is. He's hilarious, isn't he? He says, being gifted intellectually is only a small part of the equation of success. Concentrate on the factors you have the control over, like persistence, self-discipline, and confidence. Far more failures are due to the lack of will than the lack of ability. So your exercise for this time is to go into your next communication thinking about what you can do to set the tone based on your committed to cause, and take inventory on how the conversation went and if you noticed a difference in your results. What kind of changes can you make in order to get what you want out of life? See, you have the power within you to make these changes right now. So I'm looking forward to hearing how it's going for you. Please log on to powerhouselearning.com and send me a note through the blog. And I look forward to talking with you again in part 4.